This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I realize I'm in the crosshairs of the woke mob right now, so before my final nail gets put in my cancel culture casket.
We'll get to him, Aaron Rodgers, and break up with yet another actress.
Just the worst.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Has there been anybody who is better served dating, being engaged to an actress on a show called Big Little Lies?
It is perfect for him. He's just, and he loves it, and he knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I said this, I know we're going to get to this, we need to have this discussion about, the pop culture stuff, but, I've said this before. I actually kind of enjoyed when he told the fans at Soldier Field that he owned them, because I mean, he does. And then like a week later, he turned into a real, just bigger doofus than we thought he was, you know? So he ruined that for me.
Right. He turned it into a bigger word than we're allowed to say on the radio.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So that's Chris Ranji. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage. We heard earlier this week, Rick Carlisle, the Pacers coach, declare Tristan Thompson to be signing with the Bulls because they were going to release him from Indiana. He'll be signing with a team that begins with C and ends with an O, and that's Chicago, if you couldn't figure that out. Now, the Bulls themselves have not announced whether they've officially signed the guy who gets averages 6.2 points and 5.2 rebounds in 33 games with the Kings and Pacers to play behind Vooch and give the team some kind of inside presence. But what Tristan Thompson also brings is wonderful off-the-court stories like we maybe haven't seen since Dennis Rodman and Madonna and whatever else he was doing. So let's get some insight. We're going to go to the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. So who would know better than E! Channel and my daughter, my diva, Allie, works for E! Channel, and she's a senior reporter there, and here she is. Hi, baby doll.
Hey, Dad.
So, share with the class all of the Tristan Thompson, well, whatever he does on the court, that's fine. The sports talk radio people will do that, but we're here for the pop culture stuff. So, what does he bring? What stories, backstories does Tristan Thompson bring to Chicago?
Well, it's almost as complicated as Chris's relationship with Alexa, apparently.
Oh, so God, it's horrible. It's really horrible. You don't want any part of it.
I'll try to get through this quickly because it's very complicated and even for me hard to keep up with. But Tristan, you know, dated Khloe Kardashian. They have a child together. True. She's 3. He has another child, 5-year-old son, Prince. Khloe and Tristan's relationship the past couple years, on and off, lots of rumors of infidelity and, you know, that type of situation. And most recently, he, you know, admitted on Instagram in a statement he fathered a child with this a third woman who he took full responsibility for. And we're kind of, that's where we're at now. He and Chloe broke up in the spring, and he's just posting pictures with his two children now. I mean, that's where we're at. We can dig into some specifics you're interested in.
I'm trying to remember the history here. Is he the first? Okay, because there were a couple of the Kardashians dated, between a couple of them, they dated several NBA players, right?
Yes.
Was he the first?
Yes. No, I mean, Chloe married Lamar Odom.
That's right. That's right. It was Lamar Odom.
And I think she dated James Harden for a little while. Kendall dates NBA players, currently dating one. There's a lot of NBA Kardashian crossover.
Our guest from E! Channel is my daughter, Allie Rosenblum, senior reporter for E! Channel. So does Tristan Thompson, has he in previous stops, such as Sacramento and Indiana are, and this stuff gets, how does he react when this kind of news gets brought up or questions get asked or some athletes might be bothered by it. Some athletes might appreciate it, might smile at it. Some might take it just, okay, it's part of the deal. How is he, are you aware of how he's responded previously?
He has a tough lawyer who, you know, is his representative speaking for him publicly. And when it really calls for it, he'll make statements on Instagram. And then Chloe will respond with, like, you know, by not responding directly and posting inspirational quotes or quotes that one may, you know, connect to the recent events in her life. Very veiled quotes. So he'll address it when he feels like he needs to. And then sometimes his lawyer will get involved. And yeah.
Okay.
So I mean, I guess it's almost resolved,
or never,
resolved. And I guess there's a resolution in nothing ever happening. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, I don't know if continuing to do the same thing over and over is a resolution, and that works out for him, it works out for him. But as far as he and Chloe are concerned, they're just trying to co-parent. True. And our sources say that Chloe has moved on and it just wants to co-parent with him. So that's where they're at.
Okay, so let's talk about the red-ass quarterback in Green Bay wearing what Les would call the colors of vomit green and urine yellow. And Aaron Rodgers and Shailene Woodley, no longer a thing? No.
No longer a thing. They reportedly recently broke up after being engaged for a year. They were just two very different people, according to sources. They were both focused on their careers, obviously two very different careers, taking them in separate directions, but they apparently remain on good terms and are supportive of each other. I mean, even back in September, Aaron did an interview with Hope Living. He said they had planned to spend the next 4 months apart. He was focusing on football. She was, you know, she's based out of LA, but filming a project elsewhere. And the speculation recently of a split started when she was photographed not wearing her engagement ring anymore.
Oh.
And neither of them have directly addressed or confirmed the end of this relationship, but it's being widely reported that it is over.
So it wasn't because however many months into this thing that she just suddenly realized that Aaron Rodgers is a huge dingus. That's not why.
Well, it was a whirlwind romance, so things did move very quickly between them. And perhaps as she got to know him, maybe that's what she got to know. I haven't heard that, but I mean, it sounds like a good guess.
Yeah, like just woke up one day and said, "This guy sucks." Worse than this show. This guy just sucks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. So they were originally, I learned this last night, Ranger, that that this whole thing fomented because of an award-winning actress that Bears fans can now hate, right? Baby Doll?
Sort of. It was confusing because when he came out and confirmed their engagement, or that he was engaged during his NFL MVP honors award, one of the people that he thanked was Jodie Foster, who co-starred with Shailene in The Mauritanian. And so fans got insane about this, like speculation. Did Jodie Foster, does she know Aaron Rodgers? Did she hook them up? And Jodie later clarified in her Golden Globes speech that she is a huge Packers fan. It was a conversation that she had talked a lot about with Shailene on set, but that she doesn't know Aaron and allegedly did not connect them, but perhaps maybe she encouraged the connection because she's a huge Packers fan. So, you know, if you're a Jodie fan but you don't like the Packers, maybe you have an issue now.
Did she live in Wisconsin or something? Because I thought she was from California.
I don't know, but she loves the Packers.
Okay, and my daughter, our guest is my daughter, Allie Rosenblum from eChannel, and she's a senior digital reporter there. So she's also a maniac Cubs fan.
Oh, yeah.
And so Grandpa Rossi has become, she's here for all the Grandpa Rossi stories. So as long as we're talking pop culture and sports and we're talking this kind of gossip, give us the latest on Grandpa Rossi's romance.
Well, nothing makes me happier than when E! News gets to cover the Cubs. So obviously the 2016 World Series, best night of my life. That was fun. And then, you know, David Ross did all the appearances and SNL, and then he went on Dancing with the Stars. So he's just like part of our conversation, which is just, it's so exciting. And then in May of 2021, Tori DeVito, actress from Chicago Med and The Vampire Diaries, just randomly posted this picture with David Ross saying she loves him, and they're still going strong. She just posted a picture of him confessing her love for him again on Valentine's Day, and it makes me happy. If Grandpa Rossi is happy, then I'm happy.
This man knows how to do it.
Like, he's still yes, easily, he does.
Good for him, man. Like he's in his 40s, right? Like mm-hmm. I don't think he's 50 yet.
He looks 100 with that beard. Someone should tell him.
Okay. When you're bald, the best thing you can do is grow a beard.
Why do you need to look older? Do you need to look AARP eligible?
You have to have some hair in your head area. So, like, all bald dudes have beards. Like, all of them, almost.
Michael Jordan does, and he does okay. He looks okay.
Michael doesn't have to do... It's Michael. He doesn't have to do any of that crap. Allie, what is the, as far as you're concerned, the most interesting athlete-celebrity relationship, either now or recent?
Well, it's gotta be Khloe and Tristan.
Okay.
It's just consistent. There's just consistently something going on between them. And not only that, we saw Tristan go on a redemption tour, appearing on many episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians on their final season. So he was very much part of that reality TV world too. And I think he's the athlete that just consistently keeps coming up, especially at E,
Really more than Brady and Aaron Rodgers?
Well, Aaron Rodgers is very much in the mix too. I mean, we also, he campaigned really hard to host Jeopardy, and obviously we're all happy that didn't work out. But he was part of that conversation too. And all the other weird things he says, and he dated Olivia Munn. So yeah. And then Tom Brady, of all the Super Bowls and all the Instagram pictures of Giselle supporting him and their like cute kids, and Tom Brady drunkenly falling off the boat during his Super Bowl parade. We love it.
Yes. Well, you can't forget that. Baby Doll, thank you for joining us. We have a 630 texter to the score saying your daughter is great. I'd smoke a bowl to this as a weekly segment.
Oh my God.
Anyways, thanks.
How do you feel about your father and his horrible, horrible pot habit?
She'd have to answer that in between vaping. So,
Oh, okay. Oh, so it's a family activity. I love it.
Yeah,
you know,
WB Club had to start somewhere, didn't it? There you go. All right. Thanks, baby doll. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
That is my daughter, Allison, works for E-News, E-Channel. She's a senior digital reporter. And there you go. We're caught up on pop culture.
I don't get the Rogers thing. I mean, okay, he's wealthy.
Yeah.
That's attractive. I guess he's a reasonably good-looking fella. He's well-known. He's
in a crystal meth sort of way, given the
And he's a quarterback, so he's in shape, he's an athlete, whatever. But he's just such a bag. Like, I mean,
Why do you think everyone in Hollywood would be normal? That would be an attractive thing to the paranoia, the neuroses, the large swaths of character blemishes in Hollywood would seem to fit with what we know and have heard from Aaron Rodgers.
Olivia Munn could do better. Danica Patrick could do better.
Olivia Munn has John Mulaney now.
Yeah. Yeah, he's probably nice.
Well, he's funny. Intentionally funny. Aaron Rodgers is not intentionally funny.
Well, the cancel culture is out to get me. Yeah. Oh, God.
I got your woke
God,
right
I can't
here.
Wait till his career's canceled.
Yeah. So 229 says, 229's counteracting it on Allie. Hey, wait, she didn't suck. She cannot be a regular. Well, there you go. Okay.
That's a good point.
So this is the, we have some business to get to before we get to an interview that Parkins and Spiegel did with Blackjack McDowell. And we'll bring that to you in the second half of this. In your White Sox life, you have always some relationship with Blackjack, right?
I think I only met him once. He wasn't at the ballpark a lot. Not that I saw, anyway.
Yeah.
Not when I was there.
I don't know if he wasn't welcome or just chose, you know, be on the road making his music. He didn't leave under good circumstances. He's always seemed to be at... almost at war with his own franchise for not feeling they put him in a position to win, put the team in a position to win.
Yeah, I think, I mean, by the time he was done playing and I was working there, it had been, there's so much time removed that I don't think that was as much of a problem anymore. I know I had interviewed him once in the past, maybe twice. So we've spoken, and I think we met one time outside of that, for sure. But... He's an interesting fella. There's no question about that.
I love the guy. He wasn't afraid to, and not doing it in any kind of angry voice. You've heard a lot about, we've both interviewed athletes who can get angry, especially ball players, and it comes to the trading deadline. And, I remember Robin Ventura in that droll Robin Ventura way at the white flag trade said, I didn't know the season was open. It was over in August, right?
Yep.
But Jack would regularly criticize the team for not adding on at the trading deadline. Give us a chance. We want to do this. But not in any kind of screaming, not in any loud tones. And I really thought there was a logic to it and a fire to it. And I love the guy. I always compared him to Jack Morris. He was that kind of guy that the numbers didn't show what kind of guy he was and what kind of pitcher he represented. I always put him in that profile.
And I think I like when an athlete is willing to, in the middle of the career, not waiting until they're no longer with the team before they're truthful. I like to hear an athlete say, hey, help us get better. And it's important to remember that was a long time ago, but I think it still applies now. When you're close to a trade deadline in any sport, you cannot really overestimate the bump that gives to players in season when they find out they're about to get a guy's going to join the team and make them better. Like when we always talk about that shot in the arm, make this trade, it'll give him a shot in the arm. It does, And I think that's something that you should keep in mind, or teams should keep in mind. instead of saying stuff like, we like the team we have, we're just going to stick with this and write it out and think we can be competitive. Sometimes, like, for example, when the White Sox, when the players found out that they were acquiring Jake Peavy, and I think it was 08 or 09, if I remember, when they found out that trade was happening, some of the pitchers, and they, I think, I believe they found out in the middle of a game, and Burley was one of them. I can't remember who the other two were, but they went back into the clubhouse and they all did a shot. Like they did a shot of Jameson or something.
I didn't know that.
Like Makers or
they
Jameson
did a
or
shot,
something.
Huh?
Yeah, it was like, holy crap, we're getting this guy.
Shot
like
of Jake.
Like imagine what that does for you.
Yeah.
It you send a message to your team that you're good and we think you can win even more games, so we're gonna give you more help. Like it is such an important thing, and I think teams should consider that when they get close to trade deadlines.
I did not know that was the story. That was well done, but I loved the in-game, usually the in-game the in-game trade tip-off is
yeah.
when a guy walks through the dugout and it's all hugs, right?
Yeah.
But the best one was when the Cubs got Kimbrel and Schwarber walks out to left field and he's telling the bullpen what's going on and he just bends over and starts in the Kimbrel motion the chicken wings. I thought that was just so great. Where he starts doing the Kimbrel.
I forgot who it was. There was a Detroit Tiger when the Tigers were in town. I'm sure somebody could remind me who was in the middle of the game. They had to call him off the field in the middle of an inning. He was in center field. I think center field. And he had to come off the field in the middle of the game because he had just gotten dealt. I think little stuff like that is, and everybody knew what was happening.
What was happening, right. That was the
because
story.
You don't make a defensive replacement in the middle of like the fifth inning for no reason.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Unless
like
you're Bobby Cox
cool.
and it's Andrew Jones. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will, we will eventually play the other side of the Jack interview. And then we got to take a break. When we come back. And there was somebody who wanted to use Les's explanation of the three technique for ringtone, which might be a very long ringtone, but I think that we could all benefit by it. Because Ranji's here and he sits in on the Grobstein shift. We just had Mark Grody on. He sits on the Grobstein shift. So I think that we need to do this as yet another version of a tribute. So that's what we're going to do. We call this a tease in the radio business. Steve Rosenblum. He's Chris Ranji. We'll find out what he's stolen before we get out of here today on Saturday Suckage. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum and Chris Ranji. And we're all request sports talk radio because that's what we are, that's what we do.
And by the way, Steve,
yes,
it was the White Sox in Detroit at the trade deadline in 2014. Austin Jackson was part of the David Price trade with Tampa.
Austin Jackson.
Yeah, and Gordon Beckham was batting, and he was in the middle of the at-bat, and Brad Ausmus came out to the plate and like,
my timeout.
Yeah, we need him. So,
Gordon Beckham, by the way, retired and announced it by saying he retired in the same year as his good buddy Buster Posey so they could go into the Hall of Fame together. I love Gordon Beckham.
Beckham is he's a really, really good dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And part of his problem was there was a lot of mental stuff there. Like he couldn't get out of his own head and I think he was down on himself a lot, which does happen to, some players. But
and there were a lot of voices in his head, not just his own. That's the way it played
Definitely.
Out. Some guys can handle it. Some guys can't. He changed this, do this. It was like, oh, man. But he remained. And you hear him on broadcast, too. He's a great voice to have on a broadcast. And he obviously has a real good sense of self at this point.
And I think he would be really good, you know, give him some time and refine things and figure out how to be more concise with analysis in the middle of a game. But he's just, he's smart. He's learned a lot, and he's sort of a student of baseball. So I think he could do that job someday for somebody if he wanted to.
Speaking of that, here's why you can, there's no baseball now, and here's why owners largely, like, he can't be on the owner's side. So they released a statement: we regret that without a collective bargaining agreement in place, we must postpone the start of spring training games until no earlier than Saturday, March 5th. All 30 clubs are unified in their strong desire to bring players back to the field and fans back to the stands. Understand, the owners orchestrated this lockout. It's a lockout. It's not a strike. It's a lockout. So, the owners did that. Then came this note from Bill Shaken of the LA Times. Gonzo passed this along to me, Mark Gonzalez. On the day MLB said spring training games through March 4th would be postponed, the Dodgers told at least some season ticket holders they must pay in full for All-Star game tickets by April 14th.
Just,
owners,
I mean, the
owners hate you, fans. They're playing you for stupid right now.
The audacity.
Yeah.
The audacity. And they, I hope fans are, I know fans are getting smarter. I don't know if they're getting wiser to this, though, quickly enough.
Mm.
Because in 1994, and it was a little bit of a different situation, but still, Major League Baseball that year forced the hand of the players. They made them do that. That wasn't just the players being greedy and, hey, we're going to do this now. They made that happen. MLB made that happen. And everybody, you remember, furious only at the players.
Mm-hmm.
Like 95% of the
Because the picture anger was them walking off the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think now more and more people are smarter about it, and they understand the situation. They understand what the league and the owners are trying to do. Not everybody. Not Jim Bowden. But a lot of people are, and I'm glad about that, because the players are right about what's happening here.
They're using social media with great agility and yep. great effectiveness, and good for them.
I want baseball to happen, but I also want the union and the players to say, no, we're not giving in this time. We're not doing it. And I hope they take it as far as they can take it. I really do. I don't want them to cave this time.
It's really interesting that it is to this point when baseball, under Marvin Miller, Baseball Union, Baseball Players Association, MLBPA, established itself as the strongest union,
mm-hmm.
certainly in sports, and the most vexing to owners, because they all maintained their spine. They stayed out, they stayed out, they stayed out. They got what they wanted. And in the last several negotiations, baseball players have taken a lot of offers.
Yep.
And they're trying to get it back, and the owners don't want to give it back now. And I got to say, early on, I was always, the players are greedy when I was young. And then I look at it and go, why?
So was I.
And why am I on the side of billionaires? Why am I on the side of the people with more money? I don't think anybody pays to see Chairman Reinsdorf be chairman. They do pay to see Lucas Giolito throw all those pitches. They do pay to see Louis Robert become, you know, the whatever Mike Trout was and that kind of stuff. That's what I changed in that. And money had a lot to do with it. And the players now, I don't know how strong they are. I would like to be with you on that. I don't know how strong they are.
If you judge by social media, they sound like they're in on this. Mm-hmm. But we haven't gotten to the point yet where real games are getting lost. So that could change in a month. It could change in a couple of weeks. It might be 3 months. Or the union may have everybody on board here, and I hope they do. I hope they push this as far as they can possibly push it and get some ground back, because not only is ownership around the league wanting to hold steady, they want to gain some ground themselves. Like, they haven't already done that over the last 20 years.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I don't know. But as we are all Request Radio, we had a fan of the show, a listener of the show, And we have a, by the way, in completing our Alexa, our Alexa question, our Alexa, your Alexa war, I heard from my ex-wife, Allie's mother, that she heard the interview and got a kick out of it by asking her Alexa to play the score.
Oh, well.
So, yeah, so that's how it came out.
I mean.
Not Lesta. We'll get to that. We'll get to Lesta now. At All Request Radio, we had a listener who wanted to make his ringtone Les's explanation of the three technique that the Bears are going to need now. So here you go. We're All Request Sports on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Tommy is checking in. Tommy, how are you?
Question for you. I'm confused on what a regular technique and a three technique lineman is. I'd like you to explain it to me if you could.
A three technique. It's something. It's a newer type of situation, but I'm going to try to tell you what they. There's different ways of describing what a three technique is. And
so, I'm confused.
All right.
I've been hearing it, like, I feel like just this year, and I'm like, well, what's the difference?
All right, I'm going to tell you. Three technique A gaps. Well, basically, coaches have spent some 80 plus years trying to do different things. And what they do with the three technique, it's to try to, an offense tries to move the ball 10 yards and 11 guys try to stop them, blah, blah, blah. So how do we get to cover one, cover two, three, quarters, man-to-man zone, blitzes, stuff like that. Basically, a lineman is set up for different positions along the line, and their roles are responsibilities trying to do certain things. And what most people know about the three technique defensive tackle, you know a few more of them the more you're in the NFL. And basically, the way it is set up, they can't agree. Different coaches have different things. There's a thing called the zero technique, and Vince Wilfork is involved with that. They have a guy named Pat Williams up there in Minnesota. He plays the one technique. The three technique, it's a 4-3 pass rushing tackle like Tommy Kelly. Does that answer that a little bit for you, Tommy?
Well, it's Polecats, Tommy, by the way.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that answers my question. Yeah. I appreciate it, Robert.
Shorn Rogers, Kyle Williams, and Kevin Williams were all considered. And, of course, Kevin and Pat played together, and they were known as the Williams Wall up there, too. But they're not together up
there. Let me ask you a question, caller. Henry Cotto or Jerry Martin?
Now you're getting silly. Take care, Tommy.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
All right, welcome in, welcome back, and goodbye. We on Saturday Suckage want to say happy birthday to Trash Panda. He's not here. Cesar Perez is. He handled everything flawlessly, wonderfully. There you go. Chris Ranji, thank you so much for sitting in for Mark Rohde and really embracing the spirit of Suckage. So can you just give the audience a quick list of what you're going to... Did you steal something that you can trade for a set of tires in order to get them all fixed?
Oh, absolutely. I think what I stole is worth four tires, but I'm only taking one tire.
Okay, we should explain to people who weren't here at the start that you had a flat tire, you needed to stay at somebody's house, and you did. You stayed at a friend, he opened his doors to you, he gave you a roof, he gave you a basement in which to broadcast for this show, and you decided to steal something of his Bears treasure trove so you can get a set of tires out of it.
Boy, you said that perfectly.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to make sure I had the story straight for when the police questioned me about it as far as what I knew about this crime.
Nah, they won't care. No. It's out of their jurisdiction, the police you talk to.
Yeah, it's true. All right. I want to thank Rick Camp, and I want to thank Mark Rohde for not being here, but he was here. I want to thank my daughter, Allie, for getting us up to date on pop culture and sports. Ranger, thanks for sitting in, and we will now bring you the... and when are you on? When are you doing the Grobstein shift?
Oh, let's see. Thursday morning and Friday morning, midnight to 5.
All right, so everybody call in. Start at midnight and then be good and drunk by the time it's 4:30. Is that the hour you're requesting most of the phone calls, Ranger?
That is correct.
All right, that'll be great. We're going to bring you an interview with Blackjack McDowell that... aired was done by Parkins and Spiegel. Thank you all for listening and tolerating Saturday Suckage. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
And we are thrilled to be joined by the 93 Cy Young winner and White Sox fan favorite on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, Black Jack McDowell. Jack, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
Doing all right, man. What's going on?
Hey, a little stick figure right there coming in. Jack, I saw you and stick figure at Martyrs, Lincoln, Irving, and Damon. What, 96? I'm trying to remember. But it was a good show. So it's I'm a little late to tell you. It's fair to say, but good show that night.
Yeah, it's been a while. Now they've gotten rid of so many of those smaller theaters. That's kind of why I kind of dropped out of it for a little bit.
Do you still play, like even in the basement or with folks or whatever? Once it's in you, it's...
I mean, I just recently started rewriting songs and just kind of recording them on the... just kind of doing demos on my computer now for a little bit. And I'm not sure if I'm going to get back into it or not.
Well, it's rewarding, I'm sure. And always appreciated your passion for music as well as baseball. So nice to talk to you.
Are you enjoying getting back into the music thing then? I mean, you're just doing it for fun, you said?
Yeah, it's cool. I like it. I like projects. I like when you're going to go work on something and you finish it and it's done and it's right there. So that's always a good thing, music.
So, you know, there's so many things we'd love to talk to you about, but obviously baseball's in a really weird spot right now. They announced today that spring training will be delayed. You went through a work stoppage, obviously, in 94. Plenty of differences, but of course still some similarities. What was it like to go through that as a player? Because I'd imagine a lot of players right now, obviously, it's they're going through it for the first time.
Yeah, and the toughest part is, you know, getting ready to get ready for spring training is, you know, what your normal projection is of when you should start throwing, when you should start getting ready physically to go to spring training. Now, if it's going to be a month later, you know, it might be messed up. So you don't know what to do. And back in then, back in 94, that's kind of where I was at. I wasn't really prepped for spring training. We didn't know anything. And then just kind of out of the blue, the whole thing ended. And they're like, okay, you know, we got to see you in spring training in 2 days. I was like, whoa. I had had my first child in mid-February of that year of 1995. And so we were in Chicago and my whole family's in California. And we flew out there to introduce the kid to all of his family. And I get the call when I'm out there.
Oh.
It was like, okay, and I didn't even know if I was going to be still with the White Sox or if the trade that was supposedly illegal, I was told it was illegal, that they made, whether I was going to be on the Yankees or not. So I get a call from the Yankees, like, you got to be in Florida in 2 days. I was like, okay, so I'm going to go to spring training. I got to fly back to Chicago, just grab my baseball stuff and go to spring training. Where am I going to live when we go to New York? I had no clue. You know, it was just a really tough way to begin a season that way.
Yeah, that's insane, man, because it was 3 weeks of spring training, plus you get the official news of a trade that you thought was coming. I mean, was your body even ready? Was your arm ready? Was your mind ready when the season starts 3 weeks after April 2nd?
Well, we weren't in as good a shape. I mean, you can go look. I didn't have that great of a start of a season, but towards the end I did okay and did a little bit better, but ended up getting hurt at the end of the season. But go look at Jimmy Key. Jimmy Key, you know, lasted two starts and then blew his arm out and was out for the season. So, and I haven't really checked to see how many other guys got hurt during that year because they weren't ready to get into it.
Well, there were injuries were way up during the COVID shortened season with the weird start and stop nature of that whole thing. So we're kind of expecting that might happen again this year.
Well, the injuries are up every year with all the stuff that they're jamming down these pitchers' throats instead of just letting them do what they do and be able to build up their stuff and all the, you know, it's all about velocity. So they do all this stupid overweight lifting and all this stuff that you're not supposed to do if you're a pitcher, and they're doing it all. And that's why the injury rate is up crazy every year now.
So what are they doing wrong?
What are they doing wrong? Overlifting with their arms, trying to get strong. Everyone throwing with the weighted balls. I mean, from high school and college up now, I see all these guys throwing weighted balls and doing all this stuff. Like, when that is not the way to do stuff, you know? But they think that everyone thinks that velocity is the main thing, but it's actually command and, you know, being able to pitch back and forth, up and down, in and out is how you get people out. Ain't just you throw hard, but, you know, it's just the way things are going right now. All the metric stuff, they think that that's so important that that's what they're jamming down everyone's throats. And so real pitchers that know how to pitch and get guys out that ain't throwing, you know, 100 miles an hour with their new technology that they're measuring with, you know, they didn't even get a chance to move forward.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. I was looking at your stats, Jack. In 1993, you had a decision in every one of your first 27 starts, either a win or a loss. That's never going to be broken. You know, starters don't go deep enough. What are fans losing by not seeing starters go deep with regularity like you always did?
Well, they're losing the maximization of your best guys. If you were one of the five stars, it was because you were one of the top five pitchers on your team, and so you got used. Now they're going to pay a guy $40 million and only throw him five innings a game, only throw him half a game. It doesn't make any sense. And think about this. Think about this back in the day when, well, here's what you heard. Okay, hey, the good starting pitchers, if you don't get on them early in a game – and they get in their rhythm and they get going and they get going, then they've got the win, right? You've heard that a million times, right?
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, the metrics people say, no, you know, the third time that they see a pitcher is the toughest time for that guy to make an out because he's already seen your other pitches and all that. Well, wait a minute, why does that change? You're not even allowing the reality of real baseball to make its way there. And that was real baseball. Whereas, you know what? Hey, if we're going, you know that, you know, sometimes, hey, my split's not working the first couple of innings, but I'll get it going. And, you know, if you don't get me earlier and I get my rhythm going and get everything going, then, you know, you're going to be good. And that's how it was. And that's the reality. But that's not a measurable thing with technology. And so anything that's not measured with technology nowadays is considered false.
I'm getting a sense that you don't love analytics, Jack.
Joke. It's a joke. If there was anything that actually helped the game and helped me coach people and helped win games and help guys get better, I would definitely be into it, you know? But there isn't a single thing that they've come up with that actually does positivity towards anything in this game. It's actually taken away... it's taking away a lot of the positivity of a lot of things in the actual game of baseball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.